Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven,
nuestro Padre Celestial,
what a blessing it has been to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ this week.
Qué gran bendición ha sido el poder confraternizar y pasar un tiempo con mis hermanos esta semana.
And we thank you that you have been unlocking scripture truths to many minds.
Te damos gracias porque has abierto las verdades de la Biblia a muchas personas.
And as it has been a long week so far,
y aunque ha sido una larga semana,
and many of us are perhaps just a little tired,
y muchos de nosotros quizás estemos algo cansados,
we want to ask and pray for the divine assistance of your Holy Spirit tonight.
Queremos pedir por la ayuda de tu Santo Espíritu en esta noche.
We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit and send holy angels to fill this place.
Te pedimos que nos des de tu Espíritu Santo y mandes a tus santos ángeles esta noche.
Please unlock our minds to understand the judgment hour.
Por favor, abre nuestras mentes para poder entender el día, el tiempo del juicio.
And please speak to us and through us this evening.
Por favor, habla a nosotros y a través de nosotros en esta noche.
We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gracias en el nombre de Jesús.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Buenas noches.
Blessing to be with you once again in the house of the Lord.
Una bendición estar nuevamente en la casa del Señor.
Tonight, I'm going to invite us to turn together in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14.
Les voy a pedir que volteen sus Biblias a la página 14, bueno, al capítulo 14 de Apocalipsis, del libro de Apocalipsis.
And now, this evening, we're going to prepare to study the opening of the judgment.
Y en esta noche vamos a empezar a estudiar el comienzo del juicio.
We learned over the last couple nights that the Bible teaches that the judgment has come.
Aprendimos que el tiempo del juicio ha llegado.
Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. Let's notice what the Bible says.
Apocalipsis 14, versículos 6 y 7. Veamos lo que dice.
Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7.
Apocalipsis 14, versículos 6 y 7.
The Bible says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." The very first thing that we want to notice is that the gospel is going to be preached to the world.
Lo primero que vemos es de que el evangelio va a ser predicado a todo el mundo.
How many of you believe that Jesus wants the gospel to be preached to the world?
¿Cuántos creen que Cristo quiere que se predique el evangelio a todo el mundo?
If you don't understand that, hold your finger there and turn to Matthew chapter 24 very quickly.
Si no crees eso, vamos al libro de Mateo, capítulo 24.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, we'll notice what Jesus says.
Capítulo 24, versículo 14, veamos lo que Jesús dice.
Matthew 24 and verse 14, Jesus says this. And this gospel, are we all there together, friends? Amen.
24:14 del libro de Mateo.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then what happens?
¿Qué pasará?
Then shall the end come.
El fin vendrá.
So does Jesus need the gospel to be preached to the world, yes or no?
¿Cristo quiere que se predique el evangelio, sí o no?
Yes.
Sí.
The gospel must be preached to the world because that's what brings on the end.
Eso es lo que trae el fin, la predicación.
So I want to go back to Revelation 14 and once again to notice something.
Y vamos a Apocalipsis 14 para darnos cuenta de algo más.
This gospel that is being preached to all the world says something specific.
Este evangelio que se tiene que predicar dice algo específico.
Those that are preaching the everlasting gospel must be preaching what the next verses say as well.
Y este pueblo tiene que predicar lo que el siguiente versículo dice.
The last few nights we've been learning some aspects of what verse 7 says.
Y las últimas noches hemos aprendido lo que el versículo 7 significa. One, está tratando de decir.
So once again, verse 6, and I saw another angel, verse 6.
Versículo 6.
I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. Now notice what verse 7 says.
Vean lo que dice el 7.
Saying with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment, what?
La hora es que?
Hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Notice something here.
Vean algo aquí.
That those that are preaching the everlasting gospel,
que los que predican el evangelio eterno,
are also teaching people the true worship of God as the creator.
Están enseñando la verdadera adoración de Dios como el creador.
And they are warning people that the hour of God's judgment has come.
Y le están anunciando al pueblo que el juicio ha llegado.
Now we learned that the judgment, there has to be judgment that takes place before Jesus comes.
Y aprendimos que el juicio tiene que ser antes que Cristo venga.
That is for the righteous.
Eso es para los justos.
Because when Jesus comes, he says something.
Porque cuando Cristo viene, él dice algo.
In Revelation chapter 22.
En Apocalipsis 22.
And we read this last night.
Y lo leímos anoche.
Revelation chapter 22 in verses 11 and 12.
En el versículo 11 y 12 de Apocalipsis 22.
Notice once again what the Bible says.
Veamos lo que la Biblia enseña.
And are we all there together, friends? Amen. Revelation 22 verses 11 and 12. Jesus says this.
Jesús dice esto.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I do what?
You okay?
I come quickly, and my reward is where?
Mi galardón está aquí.
My reward is with me
conmigo,
to give every man according as his work shall be. So when Jesus comes a second time,
cuando Cristo viene la segunda vez,
he has already made a decision of who is righteous and who is wicked.
Ya hizo la decisión de quién es justo y quién no es justo.
And he already has his reward made up.
Ya tiene la recompensa o el galardón que
so some type of judgment takes place before Jesus comes.
Así que un juicio tiene que haber sucedido antes de que él venga.
And that's why the Bible says in Revelation 14,
y es por eso que la Biblia enseña en Apocalipsis 14,
that those who are preaching the everlasting gospel are also warning people about the judgment.
Que aquellos que están predicando el evangelio eterno también están anunciando al pueblo el día del juicio.
We read the scripture also last night in the book of Acts 17.
También leímos Hechos 17 el día de anoche.
Acts chapter 17. Once again, the Bible says that God has appointed a day when he will judge the world.
Una vez más, la Biblia nos enseña que Dios ha determinado un día en el cual iba a juzgar al mundo.
That is, there would be a specific time when the judgment would begin.
Eso significa que va a haber un tiempo específico que iba a empezar el juicio.
Acts chapter 17, we're reading verses 30 and 31.
Hechos 17, versículo 30 y 31.
The Bible says this.
La Biblia dice esto.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because, verse 31,
versículo 31.
He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So the Bible says that the Lord is going to judge the world. He's going to judge the righteous, the world in righteousness at a specific day, a specific time.
Dice que el Señor iba a juzgar al mundo en justicia en un tiempo específico.
And so let us now turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 8.
Vamos al libro de Daniel, capítulo 8.
Because the book of Daniel gives us a time prophecy for when the judgment would begin.
Porque el libro de Daniel nos da el tiempo específico del comienzo del juicio.
Tonight we're going to be studying, if you look on the screen, Daniel's longest time prophecy.
Si ven en la pantalla, vamos a estudiar hoy en esta noche la profecía más larga de Daniel.
How many of you did your homework last night?
¿Cuántos leyeron ayer lo que les dijo el pastor?
Only a few people.
Pocos.
Aquí. All right. How many? Okay, praise the Lord. You read Daniel chapter 8 and 9. Amen.
Leyeron capítulo 8 y 9 de Daniel.
Daniel chapters 8 and 9 gives us the longest time prophecy of this book. Let's now pick it up in verse 1.
La profecía más larga del tiempo en el capítulo 8.
We have about an hour tonight together.
Tenemos alrededor de una hora en esta noche.
So I'm going to do my best to move along and pray that you're able to follow along with me.
Y les voy a pedir y voy a orar también de que pueda abarcar todo en este tiempo.
I'm going to go ahead now and just start reading through this chapter. I'm going to ask you to follow along with me in your Bibles together.
Voy a empezar a leer en el capítulo y les voy a pedir que lean conmigo conforme voy leyendo.
Are we all ready?
¿Estamos listos?
Let's now begin to study this prophecy together.
Vamos a estudiar esta profecía.
The Bible says in Daniel chapter 8, beginning with verse 1.
Daniel 8, versículo 1.
In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw, that I was at Shushan in the palace which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Verse 3. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beasts might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. Verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with anger, choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. The place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Verse 14 now says this. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now there's a lot of information in these few verses.
Hay mucha información en lo que leímos en los versículos.
Tonight we're going to be dealing with the most basic of the information.
En esta noche vamos a entrar en la información más básica.
This is especially for those who have not heard these truths before.
Esto es especialmente para los que no han escuchado estas cosas antes.
Point number one is that Daniel has seen a vision and he's seen symbols in this vision.
El punto número uno es de que Daniel tuvo una visión y en esa visión vio animales o símbolos.
If you'll turn with me, hold your finger there, make sure to put a bookmark there, okay, so you don't lose that place.
Vamos a ir a otro lado, pero vamos a regresar y luego.
But if you turn with me to the next book over, the book of Hosea, chapter 12.
Vamos al libro de Oseas, el siguiente capítulo, el siguiente libro.
Hosea chapter 12 tells us that when God speaks to prophets by vision, he uses symbols.
La Biblia en el libro de Oseas nos dice que Dios habla a la gente a través de símbolos.
Hosea chapter 12 verse 10.
Oseas 12, versículo 10.
The Bible says this.
La Biblia dice
esto. The Lord says, I, Hosea 12, 10.
Oseas 10, 12, 10.
I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. And so when God speaks to a prophet, he multiplies visions. He speaks to them by vision or in dreams.
Cuando Dios le habla a un profeta, le multiplica las visiones o le habla en sueños.
And when he does that, the Bible says right here that he uses, in the English, it says the word similitudes.
Y aquí en mi Biblia dice que Dios le habla y le enseña similitudes o en español semejanzas.
Or what it means is symbols.
O símbolos.
Now let's go back to the book of Daniel to find out what these animals symbolize.
Vamos al libro de Daniel para ver lo que estos animales significan.
First of all, a beast or an animal in prophecy represents a kingdom.
Primeramente, una bestia, un animal en la profecía significa un reino.
Let's look at Daniel chapter 7 for that very quickly.
Vamos a Daniel capítulo 7.
Daniel chapter 7 in verse 17 and also verse 23.
7:17 y el versículo 23 también.
The Bible says this. Are we all there, friends, together? Amen.
7:17.
The Bible says these great beasts which are four are for what?
Son cuatro reyes.
For kings which shall arise out of the earth. Then in verse 23 gets even more clear.
Versículo 23.
Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So point number one is that a prophet is spoken to in vision by symbols.
La primer punto es de que a un profeta se le habla en visiones a través de símbolos.
And point number two for our study tonight is that a beast symbolizes a kingdom in Bible prophecy.
El punto número dos es de que una bestia en la profecía significa un reino, como ya lo vimos en el versículo.
So let's now drop down to verse 15. Daniel 8, verse 15.
Vamos a Daniel 8, 15.
Because Daniel begins to wonder what all of these things mean.
Porque Daniel se empieza a preguntar qué significaba todo esto que había tenido en visión.
And so the Lord sends the angel Gabriel to help to explain these symbols to Daniel.
Y Dios le manda al ángel Gabriel para que le explique estas cosas a Daniel.
So let's pick it up now in verse 15.
Vamos al versículo 15.
The Bible says, and it came to pass when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uliai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. Verse 19.
Versículo 19.
And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Now let's drop now to verse 20 as the angel begins to explain the symbols.
Vamos al versículo 20. Ahí es donde el ángel empieza a explicar los símbolos.
The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of what? Media and Persia.
Dice aquel carnero que viste que tenía cuernos son los reyes de Media y de Persia.
Question.
Pregunta.
Do we know what the ram symbolizes?
Sabemos lo que simboliza el macho, el carnero, más bien.
Do we have to guess?
Lo tenemos que adivinar.
No, we don't.
No, claro que no.
The angel Gabriel says, Daniel, the ram is Medo-Persia.
El ángel Gabriel le dice a Daniel, Daniel, el carnero es Medo-Persia.
It's very clear.
Claramente.
Continuing on in verse 21. The Bible says this, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So what does the ram symbolize?
¿Qué significa el carnero? Hablamos.
Medo-Persia.
Medo-Persia.
And what does the goat symbolize?
¿Qué significa el macho cabrillo?
Greece. Are you all together, friends? It's not a trick question.
Grecia es lo que significa.
This is an open book test. Okay?
Es una prueba con el libro.
The answer's right there.
Okay.
The ram symbolizes Medo-Persia, and the goat symbolizes the kingdom of Greece. The great horn that is between his eyes represents the first king, which was Alexander the Great.
El cuerno del macho cabrillo es Alejandro el Grande.
The Bible then says in verse 22, now that being broken,
versículo 22,
whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And so here we have the history of the kingdoms of Medo-Persia, and also of Greece.
Aquí tenemos la historia de Medo-Persia, de los reinos de Medo-Persia y Grecia.
Matter of fact, if you look on this chart right here,
y de hecho, si ven aquí en esta gráfica,
this old prophetic chart is also right in back of us as well.
Estas gráficas proféticas están aquí también.
You see Daniel's image of the head of gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron.
Aquí ven la cabeza de oro, los brazos y los pechos de plata, el vientre y las piernas de bronce y las piernas de hierro también.
These kingdoms are repeated in Daniel chapter 7 with the lion, the bear, the leopard, and then that nondescript dragon-like beast.
Y esos mismos reinos se describen en el capítulo 7 con el león, el oso, el leopardo, y también la bestia horrible, indescriptible.
And then in Daniel chapter 8 we have the same kingdoms repeated again.
Y en capítulo 8 tenemos los mismos reinos repetidos nuevamente.
Here Medo-Persia was the chest and arms of silver.
Aquí Medo-Persia era el pecho y los brazos de oro.
In Daniel 7, Medo-Persia was represented by a bear raising itself up on one side.
En el capítulo 7 representaba el oso con un lado alzado más que del otro.
And then in Daniel chapter 8, Medo-Persia is represented by the ram with a horn higher on one side. Just like the bear was higher on one side, the horn is higher on one side.
Y en el capítulo 8 aparece el carnero con un cuerno más largo, igual como el oso que tenía una parte más alzada también.
Representing that the Persians became stronger than the Medes over time.
Representando que los persas se levantaron más grande que los medos.
After Medo-Persia, you have the goat with the notable horn.
Después de Medo-Persia tienen el macho cabrillo con el cuerno prominente.
This goat, this horn breaks, and then four horns come up in its place.
Después de que es quebrado el primer cuerno grande, cuatro le salen.
Representing the generals that divided the Hellenistic Empire from Alexander's death.
Representando los cuatro generales que dividieron el imperio de Grecia.
Now, after Greece, what was the fourth kingdom? How many of you were here in the very first night, Daniel chapter 2?
Okay.
What did the legs of iron represent? Which kingdom came after Greece?
¿Qué reino vino después de Grecia? ¿Se acuerdan? Acuérdense lo que hablamos.
Rome.
Roma.
And so here we have in Daniel chapter 8, you also have Rome, represented by that little horn power.
Y en el capítulo 8 también tenemos a Roma, el poder romano por el cuerno pequeño.
In Daniel chapter 8, the little horn represents Rome in both its pagan and its papal forms.
En el capítulo 8, el cuerno pequeño representa Roma en sus dos fases como pagana y también papal.
And by the time you get down to papal Rome,
y al tiempo que llegan a Roma papal,
both pagan Rome and papal Rome had destroyed wonderfully God's people.
Para ese tiempo, Roma en sus dos fases ya habían pisoteado el pueblo de Dios.
There were two desolating powers over a period of time that destroyed God's church.
Y hubo siempre un poder en sus dos fases que había destruido y pisoteado el pueblo de Dios.
Paganism,
el paganismo,
and also papalism through the papacy destroyed God's church for many, many years.
El paganismo y el papado habían destruido al pueblo de Dios por muchos, muchos siglos.
Matter of fact, for 2,520 years.
De hecho, por 2,520 o 2,520 años.
And the Bible now teaches us that there would come a time when the Lord would begin to cleanse his sanctuary. Go back to Daniel 8, verse 14. The Bible says, "And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." Daniel 8:14. Now, when we come down to the end of this chapter, we find something very interesting.
Cuando llegamos al final del capítulo, vemos algo muy interesante.
Is that the angel Gabriel explained all of the symbols so far.
Es de que el ángel Gabriel explicó casi todos los símbolos que le había dado.
He explained what the ram was.
Le explicó lo que era el carnero.
El Medo Persia.
Que era Medo Persia.
He explained what the goat was.
Le explicó lo que era el macho cabrillo.
In Greece.
Que era Grecia.
He explained what the little horn was about that other power standing up, destroying wonderfully.
También explicó lo que era el cuerno pequeño.
The only part of this vision that Gabriel does not explain is the time prophecy.
La única cosa que no le explicó el ángel Gabriel fue la profecía de tiempo.
Let's look now at the end of Daniel 8. Let's look at verse 26.
Vamos a Daniel 8, versículo 26.
And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. Verse 27.
Versículo 27.
And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Now, here's the question I have for you tonight.
Ahora, esta es la pregunta que les hago en esta noche.
Daniel says that no one understood the vision.
Daniel dice que nadie entendía la visión.
What part of the vision did no one understand?
¿Qué parte de la visión no se entendía?
What part of the vision did Daniel not understand?
¿Qué parte de la visión Daniel no entendió?
Did he understand about the ram?
¿Él entendió acerca del carnero?
How do we know?
¿Cómo lo sabemos?
Because the angel said, "Hey Daniel, the ram is Medo-Persia."
Porque right? El Gabriel se lo dijo.
So did Daniel understand what the ram was?
Yes. ¿Daniel entendió que era el carnero?
If you have an angel come to you,
viene un ángel a ti,
and the angel says, "Hey, I want you to understand something."
Y te dice, quiero que entiendas algo.
This ram that you saw in a vision, that represents Medo-Persia.
Ese carnero que viste representa Medo-Persia.
Do you now know what the ram represents?
¿Sabrías entonces qué representa el carnero?
What does it represent?
¿Qué representa?
Medo-Persia. That's what the angel said, right?
Yeah, es lo que el ángel le enseñó.
Did Daniel understand what the goat represented?
Daniel entendió lo que el macho cabrillo representaba.
Yes, the angel explained the kingdoms.
El ángel explicó los reinos.
But did he understand the time prophecy?
Pero, ¿acaso le entendió la profecía de tiempo?
No.
No.
Why?
¿Por qué?
Look at what the angel told him in verse 26.
En el versículo 26 que le dijo el ángel.
And the vision of the evening and the mornings, that's the time prophecy,
es el tiempo de la profecía,
which was told is true, but wherefore shut thou up the vision, seal up the vision, for it shall be for many days. So the time prophecy was still sealed up.
La profecía de tiempo estaba todavía sellada.
In order to understand the time prophecy, Daniel's longest time prophecy, are you going to translate that for me, brother?
Okay, sí, la razón que se le había dado la profecía de tiempo a Daniel.
In order to understand this prophecy, we have to turn to Daniel chapter 9.
Para entender la profecía, tenemos que ir al capítulo 9 de Daniel.
And we find Daniel studying time prophecy.
Y aquí vemos a Daniel estudiando la profecía de tiempo.
Let's look at this in verse 1.
Vamos al versículo 1.
Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, Daniel is studying time prophecy. The Bible says this: in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the what?
¿Entendí qué?
The number of the years. Does that sound like time prophecy?
El número de años suena como profecía.
The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face, verse 3, unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications and with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Drop down to verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Daniel understood a few things here, friends.
Daniel entendió varias cosas.
This might be for a different type of a topic for a different time. But I just want to bring out just one quick point for those of you who understand this point here. Is that Daniel understood that the 70-year captivity prophesied by Jeremiah was part of the curse of Moses. When you go back and read why the Israelites were brought into captivity
vayan y lean por qué el pueblo había sido llevado al cautiverio.
For 70 years.
Por 70 años.
It was because they had not allowed the land to rest.
Fue porque no habían dejado que la tierra descansara.
How many of you have read that before?
Okay. Leído esto?
And so God was judging them, and that was part of the judgment, the curse of Moses. They hadn't let their land rest. And that was a direct fulfillment of the curse of Leviticus chapter 26, the seven times.
Y eso fue el cumplimiento directo de Levíticos 26, de los siete tiempos de la maldición.
Now, for those of you who don't understand that, that have ever seen these charts, that's what this prophecy was all about. The longest time prophecy in the Bible, the 2520, the 2520 years.
Esa profecía de los 2520 años se refiere a la maldición de Moisés.
In Leviticus chapter 26, it talks about punishing God's people for seven times, and that a time is a year.
Y en el libro de Levítico, el capítulo 26, habla de los siete tiempos que iban a ser castigados.
The captivity to Babylon was part of that curse or seven times.
El cautiverio donde fueron llevados el pueblo era parte de esa profecía.
When you go back and read Leviticus chapter 26, you'll notice that God would punish his people, and part of it would be that they would be carried away into captivity and the land would rest for her Sabbath. You read that in Leviticus 26.
Cuando van a Levíticos 26, ven la maldición y ven lo que iba a acontecer, que iban a descansar y dejar de descansar la tierra por 70 años.
So for those of you who know what I'm talking about,
para aquellos que saben lo que estoy hablando,
Daniel understood the 2520 prophecy.
Daniel entendió la profecía de los 2520 años.
Now let's continue on.
Vamos más adelante.
Daniel is praying and studying time prophecy.
Daniel está orando y entendiendo la profecía del tiempo.
He knows that his people have sinned.
Él sabe que el pueblo ha pecado.
They are under the judgments of God. They're still into captivity in Babylon.
Sabe que están bajo el juicio de Dios y están todavía bajo el cautiverio de Babilonia.
And he's also wondering, what does that 2,300 days mean?
Y todavía está pensando, ¿qué significa esa profecía de 2,300 años?
And I want you to know now, notice verse 20.
Y quiero que vayan al versículo 20.
As Daniel is praying, the angel Gabriel appears to him once again.
Y cuando Daniel está orando nuevamente, el ángel Gabriel se le aparece.
And the angel Gabriel now begins to explain the time prophecy.
Ahora el ángel Gabriel empieza a explicar la profecía.
Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 20.
Daniel 9, versículo 20.
The Bible says this. Are we all there together, friends? Amen.
¿Están ahí?
And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, verse 21.
Versículo 21.
Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man who?
¿Aún quién?
Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. Pause, wait a minute. Where did Daniel see Gabriel? What vision did Daniel see Gabriel in the beginning?
¿A dónde Daniel vio a Gabriel antes? ¿En qué visión?
Daniel chapter 8.
Daniel okay. Capítulo 8, acuérdense.
So in other words, Gabriel in Daniel chapter 8.
En Daniel capítulo 8.
Gabriel began to explain the vision of the ram and the goat and the little horn.
Gabriel llega y le explica la visión del carnero, del macho cabrillo y de los 2300 años en piezas.
And the little horn.
Y el cuerno pequeño.
But Gabriel did not explain the time prophecy, the 2300 days.
Pero Daniel no, Gabriel no le explicó la profecía del tiempo.
In Daniel chapter 9, Gabriel